So hello and welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is exciting. This is really
I am
fun.
so excited. I'm really actually genuinely want to learn about your method and hormones and puberty and all the things. So let's chat. Maybe tell people who you are and what you do and how you help with it.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, again, thank you and hi to you. It's nice to meet you and hi to your audience. My name is Tanya Mead, and I'm a certified holistic wellness coach, a rhythm and cycles coach, which we can kind of get into what exactly that is. I kind of made that up. And a licensed menopause champion. So I work with women on their menstruation to menopause journey, wherever they're at, using a method that I've developed to kind of help them in whatever hormonal stage of women's health, to really help them elevate their health and kind of live as nature intended, which I believe to be cyclically and beautifully. So, and although this method is really for every woman starting at puberty all the way through postmenopause, I really kind of focus right now my energies on the women going through kind of that midlife transition or that menomorphosis, as sometimes I call it, because they're already really struggling to juggle a career and their family. And now they have this new little friend, like perimenopause or menopause, that joins the party and just really throws things off if they're not being careful and taking care of themselves in the right way. So help them kind of get their energy back, their confidence back, and honestly, their sanity back is kind of the big one of those big key takeaways there.
Amazing. I love that. And so yes, do you want to jump into the rhythm coaching that you do, that sort of what does that mean? If you can explain what you mean by rhythm and cycles.
It's actually kind of funny. So I started my kind of, I was in corporate for a really long time, and I decided that I just wanted to help people with their health. And so I got my holistic wellness training. And as I started just helping kind of generally, mostly women, but just kind of general health, right? Nothing with women's health specifically. But the more women I worked with, the more I realized that their problems, like just like mine were really tied with our hormones and not really paying attention to our unique female physiology. And so I started kind of shifting that. And I was actually having an I was in a coaching session with someone that I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm just so broad. I need help narrowing down. And I was telling her what I did. And she's like, oh, that's kind of like a rhythm and cycles coach. And I was like, what did you just say? And we like stopped our whole conversation. And she's like, yeah, I also am a musician. So she's like, this is kind of perfect because, rhythm and cycles, like that's what you're teaching these women to do. And you can make up your own name. You can just be a rhythm and cycles coach. So that's how I got that, because I'm now primarily working with helping women understand that, as one of my favorite Dr. Stacy Sims says, that women are not small men. We're not small men, and that there's a different way that we need to do pretty much everything in our lives. So yeah, that's how that kind of came about.
Yeah, I love it. And it's so true. We have been kind of chasing what men do for so long because we wanted to be like men, have the same advantages as men, but we're so different than men. And we need to start showing up as women because we are so powerful and in such a different way. And the world needs both of those energies. Like, we can't say, oh, get rid of all men. Also, women are very valuable and in what we offer to the world and in the way we do it. And our bodies are so much different. And, everybody on the fasting trend now is like, women shouldn't fast. Like, we need food. We need to be like, we're not the same. We don't have the same bodies. And I really appreciate you bringing that into the conversation because it's, I think, a very important point.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, starting from, I mean, I talk to this is how I kind of connect it in with puberty. And, a lot of the women I work with, the reason I work with them is because they, a lot of them also have like daughters that are entering puberty, right? So not only am I working with the menopause transition, but also introduction to menstruation, right? And if we can teach our girls, like right from the get-go, that you are different and you need to work with your body in a specific way to be the most powerful woman that you can be. And so it's really cool. I mean, I have a teenage daughter too. And so I'm, you know, experimenting on her, doing all these like things. And she's like, oh my gosh, mom, please don't come to my school and talk to my friends. I'm like, I might.
We'll see.
Yeah, it's fine. But just like what you said even just, you know, we're always trying to like keep up with men, and we can do anything men can. And there's this thing about masculine and feminine energy that people think has to be one way or the other, right? People are like, oh, you're a feminist, yep. Or, oh, you're, you know, men are masculine. And it's not about your gender or your sex, right? The masculine and feminine energies just need to be balanced and in harmony. I talk to my husband about this all the time. I'm like, we need to bring up your feminine energy. And he's a Marine, mm-hmm. you know? So, and he's totally open to it now with the work that I'm doing. He's like, I just see the feminine energy is just like this beautiful, creative, nurturing, caring energy. And then we have the masculine energy, which is just as important for all of us to be successful. So this idea of like this feminine, masculine, and this cyclical living for all humans, not just women, not just biological women.
Yeah, it's the yin and the yang, or the yin, the yin and the yang. And yes, we need it to complete everything and the balance. And I think just there's so many cycles in nature, right? Like you could look at the moon cycle or the cycle of the seasons, and everything has a start and a middle and an end, and then it starts again. There's not one thing that doesn't follow some sort of cycle. And so why does it seem so far off that as women, we too should not follow that? And I'm sure men have a certain cycle also. I'm not as familiar with the hormonal cycles of men, but like, you know, all men go through like a midlife crisis. It doesn't always happen at the same age, but everybody goes through this thing. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with hormones in their bodies. Just nobody talks about really men's hormones in that way. So.
Right. And it is interesting. Like everything is cyclical. And it's awesome because I'll have women that come to me and they're like, oh, you know, I had a hysterectomy or oophorectomy, or I'm postmenopausal, like your system doesn't work for me. And I was like, you still have a cycle. You still have those energies, and your hormones do not go away after menopause. A lot of people believe that. That's just not true. They're just very heavily diminished. But you still go through these ebbs and flows, and men do too. Right? Like men also have this influx of hormones. It's different than women, which is why we need to do things differently. But I mean, just even looking into nature, everyone can live cyclically, right? I'm in the United States, and it's a very dreary day outside. And, you know, so maybe that's, you know, a little more like a certain phase for me, but everyone can live cyclically, and you don't have to have necessarily a menstrual cycle to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I think if you use that as a guide, and when you really dig into it and you realize, okay, there's like a time for all this energy and a time for rest and a time for, you know, just going, turning inwards and looking quietly, like there's so much power in that. If you can just follow, even just in what you feel like your body needs. Like this week, I've been so like, meh. About everything. Like I haven't been like at my computer being like, okay, I got to get all this done. Last week I was like working from like 7 o'clock until 4 o'clock, and I just got so much done. And then this week I was like, no, I mean, it still worked, but it was like, I worked from bed and like I read a book, like a business book. So it's like, there's things that you can still do when you listen to your body and you're like, I actually don't want to sit at my computer for 12 hours today, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's different for everyone, right? Because even when I teach women the different cycling methods that I go over in my method, you know, some people, especially women like me that are a little more like type A and want to do everything perfect, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I'm supposed to have really high energy right now, but I don't, you know, so you're telling me that I should probably do these kind of activities and this kind of movement and this. And I was like, okay, stop right there. Right. There is a book called Wild Power, and they talk about the Big Red Rule. And the Big Red Rule is that everyone's body is different, and that, you know, if maybe it's ovulation for me and I feel like going out and giving a, you know, webinar and like having a speaking event and going out with friends and this, but then someone else in the same exact phase, they're like, I want to stay home and play with my kids and go to bed early, you know? And so, yeah, these are, everything is just like a guideline, right? So the real key is to learn how to work with your female physiology, learn how to listen to your own body, and then implement it. These are just a way to like structure it that you can kind of look at, but you have to tweak it, right? You have to be looking at yourself every day and being like, how do I feel? What do I need? And that's the key, right? There's no like right or wrong, which is so hard because everybody wants to, you know, join a program that has like all these people. Oh my gosh, I lost 25 pounds. I did this and this and this. But you can't, like those kind of things. Everyone is so different, right? It's like this bioidentity, like biodiversity is what it's called. And it's just like the most beautiful thing. But if you're really not tuning in, then you're always just going to feel like you're not doing something right.
Yes. Yes, you know? 1,000%. And I teach that a lot in my courses, my programs too, for manifestation. It's like, you have to be in awareness. You have to know where you want to be,
yes,
where you are now, and like what's stopping you from getting there. And it's in anything that you do, in your relationships with people. Like if you are not in awareness of like what's going on and knowing how you feel, being able to like recognize how people around you are feeling, then you can't ever grow forward from where you are, right? You're not going to make any changes because you won't know what changes to make. So I love that. Just being like aware of, yeah, how you're feeling, how you would like to feel, and like how you can honor doing that, right?
Yeah. And the key thing you said was it's where you want to be, right? Mm-hmm. It's where you want to be, not where your partner wants you to be, not where your kids want you to be, not where your boss wants you to be. Where do you want to mm-hmm. be? Where do you want to be in your body and in your mind? Where do you want to be, you know, like in 10 years, in 5 years, and tomorrow? And that's key, right? Like where you want to be. And it's so hard because we're in a society, especially women, right? That we should all over ourselves, right? Like we should be this, we should be this, all these societal norms and pressure to look a certain way and act a certain way and be able to keep up and do everything for everyone all the time. And it is exhausting. it is just so exhausting.
Yep.
You know, and then you, and like all these changes that we go through, we have a cycle every single month that can be horrific and mm-hmm. awful if we're not tending to our bodies, right? Like our bodies are so immaculately made that we are not supposed to have symptoms all month long. We really aren't. And people, you know, I even grew up like that. I don't know what your experience was when you started your period, but mine was not great. I was like on a trip with my friends. I didn't know what was happening. I was sticking tissues in my underwear and it was so embarrassing. You know, I didn't know what was happening to me. I got some body hair like under my armpit and I didn't know what was happening. I thought I was turning into a boy, you know, and these things need to change. Like this is all normal. Periods are normal. Menopause is so normal. And all these symptoms that are going along with it, women shouldn't just be like, oh, well, this is just how it is.
It's not, you know. Yeah. Oh, you have cramps? Let me just put you on some birth control.
Oh like, my gosh. Oh yeah. That's a big thing. That's one of the biggest things that like, you know, moms and parents of teens need to just be really aware of, mm-hmm. of that and how detrimental that can be. I mean, I was one too. I was on birth control for a long, long time and it messed my cycle up a lot. And I still had a lot of the same symptoms.
My experience with birth control was fine. When I went on it, I was fine. I was on tricycline. So that was the one where it was like a smaller dose each or a larger dose or whatever it was. It changed for 3 weeks. So it was like one dose and another dose and another dose. And I was on that up until I was ready to get pregnant. So I went off of it and that was fine. And then after I had my daughter, and my doctor said, tricycline's not around anymore. So she gave me something else. And like that just destroyed my hormones. I started getting eczema, which I had never had before. So many things. I was just like, what is happening to my body? So then I was like, I'm done. My experience with tricycline was great. Like I did not have any issues that people normally say comes along with birth control. It was perfect. And then I went on this other one and I was just like, oh, this is what everybody means. Like I was just messed up for months and I went off of it, took like a month and then I got back completely to normal. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going back on birth control again ever. Like, no, done.
Yeah. And people, you know, like when, especially like I was an athlete when I was younger. And so it seemed like the best thing, right? Like great. no period. This is fantastic. But what people don't realize is you actually need your period. Your period, it helps us women. Like, it helps us. So, you know, later in life, we have like less risk for some of these crazy and horrible diseases and, you know, things that happen. And we need to be ovulating every single month. And birth control completely shuts that down. And when you can't ovulate, like, all your other hormones are messed up because your body is wanting to do that. There's so many processes, right? And so people just need more of an education about it. You know, that's one of the biggest things about doing what I'm doing is also to raise that awareness and help people be more informed when they go to the doctor or when they go to, when their daughter starts their cycle for the first time, you know, and not just letting the doctor say, you should do this, this, this. And I'm not saying that all doctors are doing this, right? There's plenty of doctors and physicians and practitioners out there that are moving into more of this. But a lot of times, it's not even the doctor's fault. A lot of times, they have a few seconds with you to diagnose you, treat you, and send you on your way because they have other stuff. They have other patients and charts and things to do. So this is just about you being more informed before you even go in.
Have you ever heard about that study with the trees where they tried to stop it from hibernating? And then a few years later, like, all the trees died. So it went through, like, they stopped it from hibernation. So it was like a couple years and they did that in a row. And then the next season, like, they just completely died. And that's what that made me think of. Like, we need to ovulate, all these things to connect and to have that cycle, because otherwise, like, it's going to die. Like, maybe we're not going to die, but like you're saying, it causes a lot of diseases and stuff later in life. And it's like, yeah, because that's nature. Like, we're supposed to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if we're on birth control for so long and then we're trying to get our period back, right, to have a baby, you know, it becomes so hard. And our body is like, I don't even know what you want me to do because you never let me put this, you know, into place. Like, when we first have our cycle, whether we're 12 to 14 years ish, it doesn't actually regulate until you're about 20 years old. And so if we're completely stopping that, and then in 10 more years, we're trying to have a baby, our bodies are like freaking out. Like, what am I? I don't know what to do, you know? And then instead of doctors saying, okay, let's do some lifestyle stuff. Let's really support your hormones and try and get them balanced out. And let's take 3 months to do that. And then we're going to try again. Most doctors will be like, let's just go to IVF. Let's go to something very expensive that's going to hurt your body even more. And so women are like, well, yeah, if that's my only option, but it's not their only option, you know? And there's so many things that are happening now that it's really hard because, you know, we trust our doctors and we want things. We want to have our baby, you know? And so it's really heartbreaking.
You like pulled that. I was thinking in my head, like, it's hard to, you trust doctors, you trust the system, you trust that the people who are in charge of you, whether that's like doctors or government or whoever, you trust that they have your best interest in need or best interest in mind. I was like, what did I just say? But then, you know, so you want to trust them and you do, and then you're let down. And, you know, once your eyes are open to the whole system and how everything is run and corporate greed, then you're like, oh, shoot, maybe I shouldn't have trusted those people. Maybe I should have just looked backwards, like into our ancestors and see what they did back in the day, because they didn't have birth control like that. So they didn't also have all these other diseases and all these things going on. Like, we're so busy looking forward at what drugs can change and what this and that and what we can do. And it's like, maybe we should just look backwards and see what people were doing before we got all these diseases. Like, instead of trying to, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't cure cancer, but instead of trying, like, as in my analogy, instead of looking at like, okay, how are we going to do this? It's like, well, what were people doing back when there wasn't as much cancer? Like, the root cause of what were they doing? And then do both, because obviously we need to cure cancer. It's here now. But before it was a big thing, I mean, it always existed, of course, but it wasn't such an epidemic where it was everywhere all the time. Everybody you know is like, know somebody, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I like to joke with like my clients and I'll be like, just, you know, go ask your grandma or think back to your great grandma, maybe even now, you know, what would they eat in a day? What would they do in a day? What would their day like entail? And what do you think is different about what we're doing? You know, and like you said, like with the doctors, it's not just doctors, it's the pharmaceutical companies, it's the food industry. It's not good. Just you know, something to keep in mind for everyone listening is that, you know, they don't really have your best interest in mind. The food company, the pharmaceutical company, it's
money.
Yeah, it's a money game. And you have to, I know it gets a lot harder to go to the grocery store and, you know, take a pill when every time you have a headache. But the thing to remember is to just go back and really take a step back and really listen to your body. You know, that's like the key, you know, and yeah. Realizing that, you know, just your lifestyle changes alone are really most of the time all you need to really heal from the inside out.
That made me think of my grandmother, my great great grandmother. She was 98 when she died, and she was a German lady. So she worked hard, like very hard. She was climbing on ladders into her 80s for sure. Ate a lot of stuff with fat, like cooked with lard, cooked with it, put it in her baking. Yeah. Like I have a recipe my mom sent me the other day, and it was like one cup of lard. It was like apple squares, right? So instead of butter, lard. And obviously everything was from scratch. I don't think I've ever seen her eat something that wasn't from, like, was processed ever. And yeah, she was just always moving and always doing something. Lived till forever. Was she like a super thin woman? No. But you know what the difference is? Nobody told her she had to be. Because back then, being supple was healthy. Like, not being rack bone thin like we were told to do from the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. It's only now that we're starting to come back around to saying, hey, that's not actually like what you need to strive for. We're striving for healthy now, I think, in a lot of ways, which is amazing. But yeah, that comparison. I think about her a lot, thinking like, I can't remember her ever being like, I need to lose weight. Or my grandma, like my grandma has heart problems, but I can't ever think of her saying anything about her weight. It was, of course, oh, my heart, I can't eat that because my heart. But it was never about how she looked, ever. And then you come into my mom's generation where it was like every other diet you could go on. Oh, we're going to try the zone. Oh, we're going to try South Beach. Oh, we're doing this. Oh, we're zoning again, like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And even my dad had too, right? Thank it's you. Not just a woman thing. Like my dad is too. It just follows the same diets at the same time. And it's never about health. It's about the way they look. And I mean, that's why people don't stick to diets anyways, because when it's about such a vague surface level goal of the way you look, that's not your why, right? At the end of the day, your why is so you can be healthy for your family and thus you can live longer and all the things. But yeah, it was never, should never have been about thinness ever.
Right. Absolutely not. And that brings up a good point too, is like you have to have that why, right? You have to have like, what is most important to you? If your health is most important to you, then you need to start living every day that like you're a healthy person, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're, you know, you have type 2 diabetes, you're really overweight, you can't really move that much, but every day you're like, I am a healthy person. And then you, mm-hmm. what would a healthy person do today? And then you do it, right? What would a healthy person do? A healthy person would probably eat like a more balanced breakfast, maybe a more savory breakfast, include some protein, maybe go for a walk your dog after. So I think I'm going to do that, you know,
yeah.
And then, mm-hmm. and then just let that be enough, you know?
Yeah. I do know. That is like literally the main thing when it comes to like manifestation. You want to manifest your next level self, then be her. Like, how does she show up? What are the things that she's doing? Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to try to go to the gym, decide that that's who you are, that making movement part of your daily routine is who you are. It's just what you do, whether it's going for a walk or going to the gym or doing some yoga. It doesn't really matter what it is, but deciding that that is who you are and making decisions from that place. So saying who, yes, so I'm a healthy person. What would that healthy person do? I am a person who is like financially successful. How do I show up each day? Looking at who you want to become and making decisions from your future self rather than who you are right now. Because if you make decisions as who you are right now, you're going to stay the same. You're never going to change, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, I love that. That was really great.
Thanks. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the cycles that you mentioned earlier? You said that in your program, you have different types of cycles that you recommend for people. So I'd love if you did like kind of a rundown of those.
Oh, yeah. I love talking about this. Okay. So My method is called the cycle synergy method. And so I take people through, like I said, I do like typically work with like more of the midlife women right now, but the cycle synergy method is meant in the long term to be, I want it to be something that I teach in schools to kids entering puberty, all the way up to postmenopausal women that are still having maybe some symptoms, or they just want to take their health to the next level by working with their cycles. So the cycle synergy method is a three-phase kind of methodology that I take women through. The first phase that I focus on is resetting their rhythm. So in this phase, we're basically trying to create like a perfect day for them. So this is really kind of starts inside and scales out, right? So the first thing I do is we need to build your perfect day. And this honestly, phase one is for every human on the planet. It isn't just for women. So I tell my clients, first of all, that your perfect day starts at 8 p.m. And they're just like, what? What does that mean? And I was like, your perfect day doesn't start when you wake up. Your perfect day starts the night before, whatever time that is. I choose 8 p.m. because it sounds catchier. So your perfect day starts at 8 p.m. And then I take them through these kind of 10 checkpoints that start at 8 p.m. or whatever time we decide is their start time. And we go through this kind of 10 days. And the whole point, not 10 days, I'm sorry, 10 like little checkpoints. And we do this to really work on their circadian rhythm, right? Their 24-hour clock, and kind of bring that back into balance first. So it incorporates things like having a really great morning routine, you know, stopping your eating 2 hours before bedtime, really setting you up for a beautiful sound sleep, having a consistent wake time, you know, drinking water, and then, you know, kind of moving throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, checking in with yourself, hey, did I follow my plan? Yes, no. What do I need to work on? You know, having some review, and then your perfect day starts again. And so that's really all about, you know, incorporate light and dark and all that stuff with the circadian rhythm. So once we have that kind of piece, then the second phase is where this one is more for biological females, right? So we move into energizing our day, and I teach 5 different cycling methods. So the first one I talk about is metabolic cycling, which is actually fasting. So you mentioned it earlier. And yes, like women cannot fast the same as men. Fasting is a really amazing tool, but you have to be super careful, right? There's certain times in your cycle where your body is going to freak out. The week before your period, never fast. You can always go for a 12-hour window. That's actually one of the big things I teach, is 12 hours out of every 24-hour window every day for every human is okay at any stage of your life. Any, you know,
that can be like overnight too, right? Like that's what a lot of our natural fasting is. Yeah.
So if you start your perfect day at 8 p.m., you open that non-eating window and then you don't eat again till 8. That's it. It's super easy. You know, it's probably one of the easiest but most impactful tips that I give people really early on to help them just get kind of a quick win, you know, and start feeling just a little bit better. But in the metabolic cycling, we talk about the different stages of your cycle and where it's good to fast and where you should not and how to use that. And then the second type, we go through nutrition. And this is a big one, right? The metabolic cycling, the fasting and the food, these are so big that I'm actually going to be creating another course that's just for metabolic flexibility, because the fasting and the food I find are the hardest ones for people, and they need a lot more time to have support going through every menstrual cycle. To really like get an understanding of those and really understand how it feels for their body, right? So we go through different types of nutrition, different types of hormone feasting foods during certain times of the month, when you can go a little more low carb, a little more keto, not total keto. That's also a hard one for women.
Yep.
But
for anybody, really.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. On certain parts of your cycle. And then we go into the third cycling type in this phase is movement, right? So we help, you know, look at a woman's schedule. If they're not exercising at all, then we just start with getting them moving. If they're already moving and they already have a pretty active lifestyle, then we really like hone it in and be like, okay, this week, I want you to focus on this. This week, I want you to lift super heavy or, you know, go all out. This is the week that you can be you, like, and do the things you want. And then the next two cycling types we go over kind of work hand in hand. So I work a lot with career moms. So women that are still at the peak of their career, which is why, you know, having menopause join the party right now is like the worst thing, right? Because they're trying to really climb that ladder and they're already like right there, but it gets a lot harder. And so the next type is like a productivity cycling. So we actually look at things in their work schedule where they can shift different things at different times whenever possible to really optimize like their energy levels, right? And this is this works so amazing for me, you know, as like a business owner who gets to set my own schedule, you know, which is, love that. but being able to also work with like the peak parts of my cycle, because every stage of your cycle has an incredible offering for you. Even the week before your period, there are some things that can happen that week before that you might not even think about that you're just really honed into. And then finally, that fifth cycling type is energy cycling. So this is more, we look at specifically people's like social calendars and how their energy is. And you can't always cycle, right? You can't always plan the webinar or the podcast interview on the perfect day, but you can, you know, get yourself prepared. So like this day, I'm on days 20. It's not an optimal time for me to do a podcast interview, but I did things this morning that were very therapeutic and very centering and grounding that helped me show up for this. And then after this, I'm going to go sit in the hot tub with my husband. And I may stay home from work today because I'll want to talk about this with him and in a relaxed state, you know? And so once you're starting to really have that cycle awareness, it becomes just like a superpower. Okay. Then finally phase three. So that's just phase two. Phase two is the big one. It takes the longest time.
Yeah.
And then when I move women into phase three, this is all about like optimizing their health. So in this phase, we look at where you are and what your goals are. So if you're a 35-year-old and you are trying to get pregnant, your goals are going to be different than if you are 18 and you're planning for college or you're an athlete, right? Versus when you're in the middle of perimenopause or menopause, or your postmenopausal. So we look at what you're really trying to accomplish. What are your big goals? And then how we can tweak the cycling types, how we can tweak the perfect day so that it is, you know, optimizing your health. And that is the cycle synergy method. Ooh, that's a lot.
No, I love it. It sounds so good. It's like, it makes sense. And it's based on everybody's individual unique body, which is really nice to know that it's not just like, okay, follow this method and it's going to work for you, because yes, there's like an overall theme to what you're teaching, but it's so unique that you can't just be like, okay, bye. Here you go.
Yeah, so you have to teach like right from the beginning. That's what I always teach, especially like, you know, anytime you're working with women in particular, you know, there's that perfectionism comes in again, right? And if something isn't working exactly the way the method says it's supposed to be, then you're doing something wrong. And that's just not true, ever. It's just not. And so sometimes it's hard because people are like, well, I want some concrete proof that this is going to work for me. And I was like, the only proof that I can give you is that if you come into this and you are willing to do the work, listen to your body, track your cycle every single day, not just your cycle, but your mood and your energy and your, you know, physical energy, mental energy, your, you know, libido, everything, and really take a look at it. And then the reason I'm here is so I can work with you in tweaking what you find for yourself. So I can't say you do this for, you know, 90 days and you're going to have this result and this result and this result, you know, which is a lot of people want that. But when you're really working with like your body and your personal goals, like you can't expect that, right? Because it's you, what you are manifesting, what you are desiring in your life.
Everybody wants a quick fix. And that's why we turn to pills or quick things that we think will get us X, Y, Z. But at the end of the day, we have to put in, yes, like the things that our ancestors did took a little bit more time. Like, why are we in such a rush and such a hurry? And is it a little more effort? Sure, at first, but then it becomes just part of your habit, part of the way that you eat, part of the way that you plan your day. And then it's not so hard. And like, I'm the same with manifestation. Like, everybody wants like, well, what am I going to get? How do I know this is going to work? And it's like, well, if you put in the work, like, you can't just be like, I'm going to sign up for this program and then never sign into your account or do any of the work. And they'd be like, oh, I never use it. Well, that's like, I offer free coaching in my membership. And do you know how many people actually take advantage of that? Not many. Like,
isn't that the weirdest thing? That is the strangest thing. Like, I'm in a coaching program right now and they offer like unlimited one-to-one 20-minute calls and all. I'm on every freaking call. Like, I'm on like every weekly call, submitting questions, making sure I'm on track and doing, you know, because building a business is really hard and it's not a strength of mine at all. You know, I wasn't even on social media before this or anything. Like, it's like it's hardest thing for me. And I have the same thing where I'm like, come in, you know, you can ask questions every single week. You can sign up for these calls and crickets. Yeah. And I'm just like, I know you need some help. Like, don't be shy. I'll just bring here because we're in the same boat.
Yes. And it's so strange to me because, I do the same thing. I offer one-on-one private 20-minute coaching. Like, I understand that because of what I teach, and we do a lot of like limiting belief healing and stuff. And like, there's a lot of past traumas that come up with that a lot of times. So I understand that not everybody wants to get like on a group call and then like hear me explain to them what's going on in that kind of setting. So it's like, you can come and talk to me privately, one-on-one, like it's confidential. I'm not going to go tell anybody, but people don't take advantage of it. And that's fine because I offer a self-paced program. Like, I've created the membership so that it is self-paced. But I too have been in programs where it's like every day they have a call that you can jump on. And even if I don't have a question, like, I wanted to pop in because I want to listen. And having a coach is having somebody with a perspective outside of what you can see. And I love to use like the analogy that when you're driving in a car, like, imagine you're at a stoplight and there's a car in front of you. So you can't see anything except for the car in front of you and like out your rear view mirrors. So let's say that you want to turn right. So the car in front of you is like taking up the whole lane. You know when that happens, and you like want to sneak in and turn right, but like you don't know if you have enough room because you can't see if you're gonna hit the car. But the car behind you can see everything. The car behind you can say, "Oh no, you have weight. You have so much room over there. Like, I can see both sides of you and all around you." That's what a coach does. The coach can see beyond what you believe within your own mind. The coach can see things that you've never thought of, or ways that you've never considered things to be. And that's in any sort of coaching, right? So health coaching or manifestation coaching or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Soccer coaching. Like, your coach sees beyond what you think in your mind. And so when you have support in these programs that you join, like, take advantage of them because they are literally there for you to gain everything, like literally anything you need. And so many of us think like, oh, we already know it all, or we know how to do that, or that person can't help me. But you don't know what that person is going to suggest to you, or lightly, you know, one thing that they say might be the one thing that sparks something in your mind that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go run with this. And then you like excel, right?
Yeah, exactly. You join those calls, and even if you don't have a question, you're going to learn something, you know, because everyone joined the program for the same, right? The same pain, the same problem, the same whatever reason that you joined, everyone's there, you know. And if you're a little bit shy, then that's fine, but still jump on those calls. Maybe just participate in the chat, you know. I'll do that a lot of the times. And it's so, just do everything you can, really, to, you know, start like working with your body and being the person that you want to be, because like the more that we can connect and support each other, the better, you know. And that's another reason I decided to work with this specific age group, because it's lonely, like menopause, like it's lonely. And then once you go through menopause and you're postmenopausal, I have women I talk to all the time, even my mom and my grandmother, that are like, there's nothing for us. Like, it's just like we're forgotten. Like, we go to the doctor and like, you know, it's like this quick thing, but there's no support for us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that is not how I believe, right? Like, I want to live to be 100 years old. I'm actually creating an academy right now that's called Better with Age Academy. And I just want, you know, we don't get old, we just get better. And So I turned 41 this year, and this is the best I've ever felt in my life. I did not feel like this when I was 30, when I was 35. Yeah, maybe I had a little less weight or, you know, whatever. But as far as like my physical and mental energy and like drive for like life in general, and just like this, you know, attunement with my body, it's just getting better, you know, and I want women to know that it does just get better. You just keep going. You find a woman in your life. I call them a sage, right? So I'm working on becoming a sage, and I want every woman, like, you're becoming this sage, this wise woman, this crone, this beautiful thing. And my grandmother, mm-hmm. my grandmother, she is my sage, and she does everything that I want to be doing, you know? And so if you can't think of that for yourself right now, find a magical woman in your life that you look up to, that you're like, oh man, you know, she's checking all the boxes. Even if it's not someone immediate, you can find people online that are delivering the same message, that it's never too late, ever. You can start your health journey anytime. And just don't quit, you know? Yeah. Like, just gets better. Yeah. It really does.
The only thing that not starting today does is delay your results. Like, the sooner you start something, the sooner you're going to get your results. Everybody thinks that if I just wait, or I just put it off, or I'm going to wait for this to happen and then I'll do this. But it's like, if you just start, it doesn't have to be every single step right away, but just like take one step forward, then take another one, and then take another one. You don't have to like make every single change all at once, but you also don't have to wait for certain things either, right? Like, oh, I'm just going to wait for this to happen and then I'll do this. But like, why?
Yeah. The waiting game, it's not worth it. Anyone that's listening, it's not worth it. Take imperfect action. If there is something that you're thinking about doing, or in your life or your business or your job or with your kids, just start. It's imperfect, but that's perfect. So be imperfectly perfect. Take that imperfect action and just do what you need to do to get to where you want to be.
You know, I was thinking when I was driving back from dropping my daughter off at forest school, I was like thinking about my garden, and it was like a random thought. And I thought, there's some seeds that they don't sprout until like the year after, or like things like asparagus, if you plant it, you don't get asparagus till the year or two after. Apple trees, peach trees, whatever, you like plant a tree, even as a tree, like you plant it, you're not going to get fruit right away. And I've literally bought seeds and then been like, oh, it's not going to come up this year, and like not put it in my garden. And it's like the same thing, but it's like, if I would have put it in my garden last year, then this year it would be coming up. But like, I didn't put it in because I was like, oh, I just want to see how my garden goes this year first, and then I'll decide. But it's like, if I would have just put it in my garden, then this year that stuff would have come up. I wouldn't have had to, like, I wouldn't be thinking about it, right? And like an apple tree. So if I'm like, oh, I want to plant an apple tree, oh, but I'm not going to get apples for like 5 years. Well, if I wait 5 years to put an apple tree, I'm not going to have apples for 10 years.
Then you're waiting double the time.
It was like a random
thought. So true. That's really
it was so random, but I think about weird things. I know, so funny. But yes, no, it's true. It's like everything has a purpose and a place, and if we just kind of be in flow, that's like my word for this year is not flow, but it's float, because everybody is so focused on being grounded. And while being grounded is great, because you don't want to, like, you need to come back into your body, it's like sometimes when we're so grounded, it's like we're so stiff and heavy. It's like float means that you can drift in any direction that you need to be in, right? Like, imagine something kind of like tethered down, like you're still grounded, but you're like, you have the ability to go forwards and backwards if you need to, and to pivot and to move around and to not be so grounded that you also aren't moving. Like, if you're so tethered to that spot, then you're not going anywhere. But when you give yourself that ability to float, if you feel that you should go forward for something, if you feel like, hey, maybe I missed a step, or maybe I actually had it right when I was doing this, like to give yourself permission to go backwards. Because so many of us think, oh, I tried that and then I didn't think it worked, so I moved forward. Now I can't go back and do that again, because then everybody's going to be like, oh, I thought you weren't doing that anymore. And it's like, stop worrying about what other people are doing. Like, give yourself permission to just like lean into whatever direction feels right at the time.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. So, okay, I have a story. This is like you almost knew that I wanted to say this, or like, actually, I didn't even think I wanted to do this until you said what you just said about floating. I love float. I love that. Everyone adopt that. So my business name, I get this question a lot because I've been through a couple of different business coaches, and I've had a lot of people tell me that I should just use my name or change your business name. It's too hard to pronounce, or people don't know what that means or whatever. And I almost did a couple times. And then I was like, you know what? No, like this is what I'm creating. This is the reason. And it goes so perfectly with this. So is that okay if I share the meaning behind the business name?
Yeah.
So my business name is called Patalily Living. And Patalily is really the key, because I also have Patalily Music. And then I'm going to have Patalily Kids when I start doing the more of the puberty work and the body literacy part. Mm-hmm. So Patalily is the main part. And people are like, what is that? You know? And I love telling this story because the reason I use Patalily for my business is it's what my grandmother used to call like the water lily plant. But so we'd go searching for these, and she's like, oh, let's go find some patalilies today. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to use this in some way in my life. Even when I was like 5 years old, I was saying this. And so we'd go search for these patalilies or these water lily flowers. And, you know, everyone always thinks of the lotus, right? They think of this beautiful, you know, it represents like empowerment and just, you know, you've this ascension and this beautiful thing. But what she always taught me was that everything that makes that flower possible, right? So this flower sits on this beautiful lily pad that supports it, right? And it not only provides this nourishment for the lotus, but also protection for any critters or life that is underneath it. But then under that, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then go search for like water lily roots or something like that. And you will see this amazing root that sometimes has to travel 13 feet or so down into the mud and into the muck, where it's rooted in this earth, right? And so the floating analogy that you said was like, so yeah, this beautiful, amazing plant is still that's still grounded. It's still rooted, right? It knows mm-hmm. like who it is. It knows like where what it wants. But then it gives this lifeline to allow this flower and this lily pad to just kind of float around. And it mm-hmm. supports like and gives all of the life to this lily pad. And so when I was like, oh, Patalily Living will be, I want all women to be rooted, supported, and empowered, just like this beautiful plant. That's and it. Really, really think about like how all those three pieces, you don't have the water lily without the deep embedded roots in that kind of muck and mire.
Love it. So good. See, we're on the same page. Yeah, and that made me think too, like of a sunflower, like everything in nature, right? It all follows that. Like sunflowers grow big and tall, and they don't just face one direction. They move in the direction where the sun is. It's literally why they're called sunflowers. But they turn and they move, and it's okay to be flexible and to not stay in one direction. And not only is it just okay, like it's required, like you have to be able to be flexible enough to just, yeah, float or move or flow with what's going on. You can't be so focused, you can't be so focused on one direction that you're missing opportunities to better yourself in whatever way that is, whether, again, it's health or money or love or whatever it is that you're calling in. If you're so focused on what you think you know and the direction you think you're supposed to go on, then you're missing all the other things. Like the sun is literally there to show you what direction to go in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love all the ties to nature, right? Because there's just so much like wisdom and teaching in just nature, right? Even mm-hmm. when someone's like, you know, going back a little to the food industry, right? They'll label something as natural or healthy or something on yeah. the package. And it is so confusing for people. It's not even fair that they can put that on there. But if you can look at that thing that says natural, good for you, feed it to your kids, all that stuff. And you look at it and you're like, look at the ingredients and you're like, would I find this in nature? If I went out anywhere in nature, would mm-hmm. I find this? And if you can find those ingredients in nature, then take it, right?
Yes.
Like look to that nature for that wisdom, you know, like the sunflower, yeah. like the lily pad, you know, like mm-hmm. how the sun, you know, that our circadian rhythm just you know, working with the sun patterns throughout the day is enough to like move you into a really good circadian rhythm and help your energies like immediately. And that's something you can do every single day for free, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love the nature of it. And like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's a lot of us have forgotten nature because as humans, we have been taught that we are above nature, that we are the top of the food chain. So like everything else is below us, but we are part of nature. We are part of the cycle. And the fact that we think we're above it is what's destroying nature, right? Like that is what is ruining it. But if we can look at ourselves as part of nature, then we can begin to see, oh, hey, maybe I should follow these cycles, and that there's like an actual rhyme or reason to why we do the things we do or feel the way that we feel. And it's not just because you have like a headache or whatever, right? Like there's a reason that you feel that way. And if you could just tune in and listen and do what feels right by, again, being an awareness of your body, then you can solve a lot of problems without having to turn to the above nature, out of nature solutions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good conversation. Is there anything else that you wanted to chat about for like what you teach or anything else that was kind of on your mind?
No, I mean, the biggest thing that I just want to encourage, you know, any female listeners to start doing is just every day, just start like jotting down how you're feeling. You know, cycle tracking is awesome. That should be part of your daily tracking. But just like every day, just taking like a little, you know, diagnostic of yourself almost, you know, like scale of 1 to 5 or anything like that. Like, how was I feeling today? And then do it over a month span or the span of your cycle. If you're not cycling, you can, like we talked about earlier, you can follow like a lunar cycle, which is totally beautiful. If you're postmenopausal, you have a lot more options, and you know, you could reach out to me or kind of Google how you can still follow a cycle of your own choosing, which is really beautiful. But just start to see how your energy fluctuates through the month, you know, and just you'll learn so much about, you know, days, and then do it for a whole year, and you'll be able to see how it kind of crosses across the seasons as well. And kind of ties in with all that. It's just a very easy first step to really, you know, start working with your female physiology, because again, we are not small men, and we have to really do things differently and honor our cycle and not just keep pushing through. You know, the women I work with most, I call it what Dr. Libby Weaver calls rushing woman syndrome. And we have this relentless urgency to rush and be everything and do everything for everybody, but you just can't do those things if you're not honoring your body, and especially your female physiology, your hormones, and all of the other systems that are based on that root cause of listening to your female physiology and your female hormones.
I love that. And also, there's in general just no reason to rush through life. Like, we've been told there's an urgency for everything, but that's because people have told us that we need to get a certain quota done, certain whatever. That's like the employee mindset, right? The employer, the CEOs, they're out on the golf course while their employees are working 9 to 5, getting all their quotas done. So, you know, like, just think about that when you're thinking about the urgency of things and how fast things have to happen, or your timeline that you put on things, or how much you get done on a day, or how hard you have to work, is like, what's the CEO mindset? And like, what's the employee mindset? Because we've all been taught to be employees, like, especially people who go to public school and, you know, we follow the governments, like everybody wants us to fit into the system. So just, you know, think about what life could look like if you were on the golf course and also like you had employees working for you, or you were the one working, but you just took time for yourself to do what you wanted to do without feeling like everything has to be done. Take time for yourself, self-care, spend time with yourself, like get inside your mind and just be quiet.
Absolutely.
You don't have to rush ever. There's never a reason for rushing. And I tell myself this all the time. Like, I notice in the mornings, like when I'm getting my daughter ready for school, I'll be like, hurry up, we have to go. And I'm like, why am I telling her to hurry up? Like, even if we're late, like it's not even a big deal. Like it's for school and we're never late. We're always early. Like I was there before any of the teachers were there today. Like I literally tell her to hurry up all the time because I have this like set in my mind that like, I can't be late for things and I'm always early. Literally, I'm always early and yet I'm still telling her to hurry up. And I'm every time I do it, I'm like, why do I say that? But like, it's just like part of me of being like, I got to get there early where I'm like, you got to hurry up. I'm like, no. I hate when I say that, but like I do it all the time. So it's like something I'm consciously aware of, but like haven't managed to change yet.
I do the exact same thing. So I have three kids at home and yeah. And you have to, it never like really goes away, right? Like we want to do everything for everybody. We care so much about the people in our lives that it really comes from this like really beautiful place of why we actually rush, right? Like why we're always trying to just do and be everything to everybody. One of the biggest things that I learned or was taught at some point that I try and think about all the time is what actually matters most to me, right? What matters most to me? And am I doing the things in my day? I try and align like 80 to 90% of my tasks with, okay, this is what matters most to me. Like this is going to help me with what matters most. And then at the end of the day, the key is to just let it be enough. You know, if you look back on your day and you're like, don't look at your to-do list because you probably still have things that you didn't check off, but maybe they weren't actually in alignment with what matters most to you. And and that's really helped me because I used to be, you know, every morning I would make this ridiculous list of like 50 things. It was so stupid, you know?
Like, you're never going to get this done.
This is not going to get done.
Setting yourself up for failure.
Tomorrow I'm going to start with like 10 of these that weren't even done, but I added 5 more. And so having this different, you know, when I'm planning out my week now, it's more of like, okay, what are the things that matters most to me? This is going to get on my schedule first. And then here's some things that would be nice, you know, but if they don't get done, then I'm not going to beat myself up because that's the problem too, right? Even if you get that list done, you know, women will beat themselves up and be like, well, I should have been able to do more. I should have been able to get everything done on my list. But you look back and you're like, I did what matters most to me. And then you're just like, that's enough. And that's been like hard, right? To just be like, okay, let it be enough. And that's difficult. But if you can just keep practicing, right, that it will happen for you. And then you're just going to feel a lot better.
Absolutely. I think it's really good, too, to have two to-do lists, like your master to-do list of the 50 things that you want to get done. And then like your today to-do list or even three, like this week to-do list, your today to-do list and like your master, because your master is going to have things that. Yeah, like I have like SEO for my website on my list and I rarely action that. It would take me like 2 seconds if I did a little bit every day, but that's like not a super priority. It's like something I want to get done and it will help me build my business, but it's like not a priority. So I haven't done it yet, but it lives on like a master list and like just really.
If you don't put it down.
Right.
If you don't put it down, then it's going to be like this on your brain, just like pecking at you.
Yes.
And so you have to have a master list or a brain dump list is what I have mine.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. I just write something down because then I can go back to focusing on whatever I'm doing, you know?
Exactly.
So I love that. Yeah. Have a brain dump or a master list.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've been really, really hearing a lot about like a second brain lately. So I was like, I got to start this because I'm always thinking about things and then I forget about them so fast. I'm like, oh, shit, what was that I was thinking about? So now I have, it's called, what is it called? I don't have my phone on me. It's called Google. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to look it up and I'll put it in the show notes and I'll send it to you. But it's just an app and it's like a mind dump app. Like you create little documents, but it's like visually pleasing. And Google Keep, maybe? I think it's called Google Keep.
I freaking love it.
So I just use that as like my second brain because it's like anytime I think about anything, so I have like separate lists for things, and then it's like, okay, I'm thinking about this, put it in there, because it's so much easier than like Google Docs or like your notes thing. Those are so complicated, and this is like pretty, and you can add pictures and you can add voice notes and you can like do all these things. So I've been doing that. Just like having the second brain has been so helpful because I don't have to think about it. I can put it in a note. I know it's there. And then I can come back to it when I'm ready to come back to it. Be like, oh, what was that thing I thought about? Oh, yeah, it's like neatly tucked into this thing. Or, oh, I saved this image. Like, where did I put it? Oh, yeah, it's right here in this same app. Just give her notes. And that's been just so helpful in giving myself the space to be like, this doesn't need to be done today. It can be done another time. And you can give me checklists in there too. So those are where my to-do lists live. And yeah, it's really helpful.
I love that so much. Mine, but honestly, like if someone were to look, like if I were to show, well, you'd love it. You'd be like, this is fine. But if I show it to like most people, they'd be like, this person's crazy. Like, because I have it there from like songs I want to sing on karaoke, you know, to like, you know, the dog food that my dog eats.
It makes sense though, because those are things you don't want to think about. You don't want to have to store them in your brain, but you need to put them somewhere. Like that's the whole concept of the second brain, is like all these things that are taking up space in your brain, your first brain, are living there and you're thinking about them all the time. But when you know that you've put them into like a little hard drive, like a second brain hard drive, call it, then you don't have to think about it. So it might look chaotic, but like, what do you think the inside of your brain looks like? I mean, you can see it in words, because like words and pictures everywhere, like that's why it looks chaotic, because it is, but it's neat. It's like tidy, chaotic, organized.
I love it. Yeah, that's so funny.
It's really important. So if anybody is listening, like whoever is listening right now, like a second brain is literally life-changing for not just productivity, because it does make you more productive, but it's just for giving yourself that space and being like, okay, I can breathe. I can like put my stuff away. I can, you know, end my day knowing that everything I need to do for tomorrow is like in my second brain. So tomorrow I will look at it. And until then I can like shut myself off.
And not getting frustrated, right? Not getting like all mad at yourself because why can't I focus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, like now you're able to put it somewhere and be like, you know, yeah, I have this space now. Yeah. And you're giving yourself that space, which is,
yeah.
Because we all need
Yeah, there's too much going on in the world, like with our phones and TV and internet. And like, there's just so much all the time and like constant notifications. And I don't even watch the news, but for people who like listen to the news or see news apps, like I took the news app off my phone and I unfollow people on Instagram if they're like posting news things, because I'm aware of things. Like my husband is actually in the Navy also. So, I mean, I know your husband's a Marine, not that it's the same thing, but military. Like I have an awareness of what's going on in the world, but I don't need to actually listen to it or see it every single day and bombard me. And then I'm just feeling like shitty because I'm like, wow, our world is shitty. Like, I don't want to feel that way. I want to look at life being like, okay, how can I make the world better? Not like, oh, I'm never going to make the world better because there's so many shitty people in it. Like, that's not the mindset that I want to have. So I don't look at the news, and that helps greatly. So again, if you're listening, if you're somebody who like loves the news and you want to create more space, like stop listening to the news, because that's just adding like so much into your brain that you don't need, really. I mean, you can go like look at news articles like once during the day, but you don't need to be bombarded with it. Yeah. All right. Well, this is like such a great conversation. I really loved listening, and I think we're on the same page about how to do things. So where can people find you if they want to learn more about your method and getting into the cycle of healing their bodies and just being healthier in general with their cycles?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like I said, I'm pretty new to social media. So, you know, go in there and, you know, any social media platform you follow me on, then, you know, then let me know what you're liking and what you're not. But you can find me on any, on Instagram is probably the best one, Facebook. I am going to start doing more on YouTube, you know, all things in good time. All of those are at Pada Lily Living. So it's PADALILY Living. And then I am starting a new, just like a free Facebook group. I know some people are a little averse to Facebook, but I do have a Cycle Synergy Collective group that I'm going to be starting soon. And that could be a really great way if you just have some questions or you just like want to dip your toes and just kind of see what it's all about. Maybe try a few things and chat with other people. That might be a really good place for you to start. That's free. Very exciting. Thank you so much, Megan. And for everyone, really appreciate it.